Thank you, dear Lord, for this time set aside in our week when we can just be. Exactly as you created us to be, wrapped in your presence and in your promise. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out fear and anxiety. Thank you, Lord, for this church family. The person on our left and the person on our right, the person in front of us and behind us, the people that surround us in our trials, that stand beside one another through the joys and sorrows of life, the people that help us raise our children and give us a sense of hope, and are a constant reminder of your everyday presence in our lives. Strengthen us, Lord, for the weekly reminder that your word gives, that you've got this, that you've got us, that you see us, that you hear us, that you know what weighs on our hearts and in our minds. Calm our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts honor the life of your beloved child. Amen. So if you've been around this fall, you know we're in the midst of a sermon series entitled Why Church? Like, why did you get up today and come to church? What prompted you to do so? Where does church matter in our crazy lives? It just seemed to get crazier year by year by year. Why church? Well, today we talk about church because we need courage in this life. Oh boy, do we need courage. Reds and oranges and browns and greens, what a long and luxurious autumn it has been. A few weeks ago, my girlfriends and I spent a couple days hiking around Lützen and soaking up all of God's creation. It was so beautiful. We took the Lützen Mountain gondola up to the top and then wove our way down through the woods to the bottom. The floor of the forest was a virtual carpet of maple leaves in every possible color. It was stunning. And then we hiked up the Cascade River, and since one of my friends is from Colorado and one of those size 2 annoying mountain goats, we went on a 7.7-mile loop up the Cascade River and then down again, on a blanket of long and soft and willowy pine needles. The ritbeer-colored waterfalls crashed down with a deafening power that made my stomach flip in awe and the mom in me freak out when my friends got too close. Don't go so close. Oh, you're just a worrywart. Well, then don't go so close just for my sake. Such majesty. Pastor Callen calls this time of the year God showing off again. As those first big fat snowflakes fell from the night sky the eve before Halloween, I felt that familiar Minnesota tickle in my heart. I took a photo out my front door and sent it to my mom, texting, "Mom, it's snowing. Isn't it beautiful?" And she responded, as she does each year, with a gracious, "I know you love the first snowfall, honey." For me, it signals the start of a season of snowy walks around the lake, people gathered in church, family gatherings, and cozy nights at home. For my mom, it signals a death, the end of weekends at the cabin, and of sunshine, and of warmth, and she dreads it. The change of seasons is one of the pure gifts of living in Minnesota. I'm not sure if it was this long, luxurious fall that we were treated to, or being in my own sixth decade of life, or watching some of our families suffer through the untimely deaths of their loved ones. But I've been thinking a lot about the seasons of life. Some are pure joy, while others bring more loss than we would care for. In our early years, we're too busy with what's right in front of us to really think much about life. The seasons all blend into one another, playing and friends and school and finding out what we love, finding a life partner and a career and a home, raising a family, tending to work, and just getting through the day. I remember my husband and I would argue about who was most tired and most really needed a nap. And then seemingly all of a sudden, we're empty nesters. There's joy in imagining free time and new possibilities all over again. And there's also pain as our parents begin to age and our own bodies start to have glitches. And we begin to realize that life here on this earth is finite. We start to lose people that we love. And even though we know it's coming, it hurts. And so this All Saints Sunday, we ponder. When loss hits up close and personal, where does our faith come into play? Where does our church family fit into this puzzle of grief? Where is God in our suffering? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus' friend Lazarus has died 4 full days before Jesus got there, even though it was just 2 miles away. His friends and his families were all gathered to express their love and their sympathy to Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. And when Jesus finally arrives, Martha walks straight up to him, pulls no punches, and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Ouch. Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt? I love that Martha doesn't sugarcoat her feelings or try to hide her disappointment in Jesus. She just flat out says what she's thinking. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha's words remind us that God can handle our pain and our questions and our grief and our anger. Sometimes I feel like we have to present this perfect person to the world and even in our private prayers to God. We have to act like we understand why someone that we love had to die. We think that we have to act like it doesn't bother us. We have to act like we're doing okay, that we understand why our prayers weren't answered and why our loved one is not with us. But the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, like Martha, we can openly and honestly express how we're feeling. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where were you, God? I was crying out to you, and you didn't answer my prayers." We need to hear God's word to be reminded of this, that we don't have to accept all that happens in life and be totally fine with it. 2 Corinthians 12 reads, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." When we're angry, when we're mad, when we're grieved, when we're suffering, we need to fall on our knees and be honest about how we're feeling. God needs and wants and loves our open and honest communication. Today is All Saints Sunday. We give thanks for all the saints that have gone before us. And as I look through the names listed in our bulletin, our Mount Olivet family members who have died this week, this year, I picture their faces, I picture their loved ones and the pain they're going through, particularly the two early deaths. And my heart grieves for their grief journey. But I also was present for their funerals. And even in the midst of grief and tears, there was so much love. People stop whatever is going on in their lives when someone dies. They gather together to honor, to be together, to be family. As memories are shared, as we learn how their lives made a difference, not because of some grand accomplishment that they had, but because they were there, because they were present, because they were loved. Kids run around fellowship hall laughing and giggling, folks standing around looking at photographs and reminiscing, Mount Olivet church ladies pouring coffee from sterling silver coffee pots as they have for decades, being church, offering comfort and a source of stability and hope in the midst of really tough times. We can grieve alone, and we do. We pray together, we pray alone, we cry alone, we get angry alone, but there's something so much more healing and holy when we're doing it together with our church family, when we're grieving with people who have been there, who understand that there is hope, that God is present, and that life will go on, that love will go on and live on in us. And we are reminded of God's promise that we will meet again in God's presence. Church helps us set aside our worries and share our hope with others so that we can live with courage. A young friend of mine who had been through a really hard time and just feels like she's living her life in fear of the next shoe falling, texted me these words: "With the help of my church and some really good therapy, I've realized that I have a lot more to lose by worrying than by actually living." Words to live by, to be sure. And isn't that what seasons and loss are all about? Living in the moment, loving in the moment, saying goodbye when we have to, but then having the faith and courage and hope to move forward and enjoying this one life that God has given us before we all meet again in God's presence. Let us pray. In the midst of it all, Lord, you are there. In the fiery maples, the cascading waterfalls, the falling snow, and grief so big it threatens our very faith, you blanket us in love. Help us to remember that you have promised to walk with us through each and every season of life, holding our hand, lighting our path, being there for our goings out and our comings in, from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.